Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can open up your word and the freedom that we have just to dive into it. So I pray that as we study it, that many of us will see it with fresh eyes, that we'll be able to take truths from this story that that we've maybe heard many times. But I pray that we will be able to hear it and receive your truth this morning. So we commit it to you. Speak through me, Lord. Speak for me. It's for your glory. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. About a year ago, just over a year ago, we had a dead tree in our yard. And it was about 20, 25 feet tall, and it was leaning on my neighbor, towards my neighbor's house. And so my neighbor kept knocking and bugging me, asking me to cut it down. And I was like, I don't know how to cut a tree down. You know, you cut it down. I'm not a lumberjack. So, but he kept asking and he kept asking and he kept knocking, kept knocking. He finally, he gave me this card of a guy who he could, that he found. He's like, well, here, we'll go halvesies on this guy. You pay half and I'll pay half and he can cut it down. And I was like, well, okay, $350. No, I don't have $350. It's just a tree. Just leave it there. Don't bother it. But he kept bugging. He kept bugging. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna cut this thing down. So I go and I look at it, and this tree is pretty big, and there's branches everywhere, and it's right in between our houses. So if I cut it wrong, it's either gonna fall on his house, like he's worried about, or fall on my house. So I do what most of us do when we need some manly work done. We call Wes McDaniel. And so I said, Wes, I got a tree problem, man. I need your help. And so he comes over, and he's got his chainsaw. He's got his ropes. He's got everything. And so my dad was actually there that weekend. So it was me, Wes, and my dad. And we rope this tree up. We get our chainsaws out, and we're cutting it down limb by limb. And I'm on the roof, you know, just as Wes would cut the limb, then I would hold it and brace it in another tree. I mean, we were legit. I mean, people were watching us, literally coming out of their houses, watching us in awe of how awesome we were cutting down this tree. And so at the end of the day, there it was. The last part of the stump, thud, right in between. Like if these aisles are our houses, it was right in the middle. I mean, it was perfect. But now we have these branches everywhere. I'm like, okay, now what do we do with these things? So we get the chainsaw and we cut it up into about, you know, a few feet length, and we put it in our backyard. And so last winter on those cold nights, I was thinking, man, I'd really like to build a fire. So I realized, well, I got tons of firewood. But again, the logs were about this big, so you couldn't really just throw a giant log like this into your fireplace. It doesn't really catch very quickly. So I thought, well, I'll just chop it up. And so at this time, it's been seasoned for a little bit. It's been sitting there. It's all dried, so it's perfect for the fireplace, but it's just too big for the fireplace. And so what I do is I get all the tools that I have, and the only tool that I have is this little hatchet about this big that has a dull end that you can just rub it on your hand, and you're fine. It's not going to cut you. It's just kind of this dull edge. So I'm like, well, this is all I have, and I need to keep my family warm. You know, I got to build a fire. I got to provide for them. And so I get this dogwood tree, and I get the branches in the stump, again, about this big, and I just start whacking it, you know, left and right, over and over, and I'm putting everything I have into cutting this tree into sizes that we can burn. But I'm not getting anywhere. And so if you go into our shed today, you'll see all this pile of dogwood, and it's got just notches in it of chips of wood everywhere. They're not cut, they're just kind of chipped everywhere. And I was working so hard on cutting that wood. I mean, I was giving it all I had. I was not going to give up. I was out there forever just trying to chop this darn wood. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter how hard I worked. The fact was that my tool was dull. It had a dull edge on it. The blade was completely gone. So it didn't matter how hard I would whack at it. It wasn't going to do anything. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Because I think so many of us try really, really hard in our strength. We work really, really hard, and we think, you know, this is a new year. You know, all my problems are fine. I'm just going to keep trucking in. It's a new year, a fresh start. I get to start hammering again. And a lot of us are just whacking away, thinking I'm fine. I can do this. I just got to keep going. Just keep hammering. It'll happen eventually. Just keep moving. And we think I can do this. But the reality is, just because you're working really hard doesn't mean you're accomplishing a lot. And I think as Christians, we've bought into the idea that, you know, busy is good, and working hard and doing a lot of things is perceived as being accomplishing a lot and doing a lot of things for God. And so we're just whacking away, doing things, and we think, this is good. You know, I'm accomplishing a lot. But when you realize and look back at what you've actually done, you realize you're just tired and you haven't done a lot. And so we need to stop trying to do something if we're not equipped with the right tools to do so. Many of us are walking around with a dull edge, and that's what we are equipped with this year. And I think God wants to give us so much more than just our own strength and our dull edges that we're trying to just get through. And it's so much more about just grunting through and grinding through life. But again, I think many of you, like me, are just kind of hammering away. Well, there's no A for effort here. You know, God doesn't bless us. God doesn't give us things that we need if we just work hard enough, if we just don't give up, you know, just keep pushing it out, keep grinding it out. No, in fact, Scripture is the opposite. Scripture says, just stop. Give up sometimes and let me take over. Let me work through you. Your strength is nothing. You have a dull edge that you're working with. Let me work through you. Let me work for you. Stop doing it all. Like we've talked about these last few weeks. Put on my yoke, he says. It's easy. It's light. Cast your burdens on me. And yet I think so many of us have bought into the idea of, you know, just got to keep grinding it out. Got to keep working hard. Got to keep going, 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 go, go. And we don't realize that we're actually not accomplishing much. And so I love what Ecclesiastes 10:10 says there on the top of your note-taking guide, if you have it. This verse is so convicting, and it's been speaking to me this last week. It says this: if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one succeed. And so many of us are doing that. We're trying to use our own strength. And we're trying to cut down trees with dull blades. It's not about our strength. It's about engaging our mind and realizing that we need to sharpen our blade. Stop just working so hard and engage our minds and use wisdom, Scripture tells us. We need to stop and make the wise decision. Slow down and take care of what needs to be taken care of. Like, no, I'm fine. Just keep grinding. It's okay. If I just keep going, it'll be okay. Scripture is very clear. No, no. Stop using your own strength and use wisdom. Rely on God. Just stop. And it's ironic that we can accomplish a lot more than we ever thought if we stop and just let Him do it for us and allow Him to provide our strength. And so I love Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one succeed. And so before we get any further into this year, I think we need to just engage wisdom. We need to stop just, okay, it's another year, here we go, I'm going to just do it. Nope, let's stop before we go any further and rely on wisdom. Rely on God's strength to give us the strength that we need. So we can't do much with a dull axe head. You wear yourself out. You use energy that you never even had to begin with. And then we're no good because we can't give anything because we don't have anything to give because we've been trying to do it on our own. So today, what we're going to do, before we go any further into this year, we're going to start a fast tomorrow. And again, I pray that you can be a partaker in this. It's going to be a good thing for our church. It's going to be a good thing for you and for me. Because we just need to stop trying to do it on our own. And I think a fast is a beautiful way, and we'll talk about this. Fasting is a beautiful way just to say, Lord, I want to engage wisdom here. And I need to sharpen my blade. I need to take time to take care of the tools that you've given me and myself, so that I can be effective in your kingdom and for your kingdom. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7. This is another story about an axe head. And it's an amazing story. And as you're turning there, this is a weird story. I've heard this story all my life, and I never really knew what it meant growing up. It was just a weird kind of story. What happens is this prophet studying under Elisha, they're cutting down trees, and as they're cutting down trees, he's whacking so hard, and he's just hammering away, doing his best, and all of a sudden, his axe head flies off, and it goes into the water, and it sinks to the bottom because it's iron, and then he goes and he tells Elisha, hey Elisha, my axe head fell in the water, and Elisha comes, and he makes the axe head float, and the guy goes and gets his axe head. Kind of a weird story. You're like, what in the world can you teach us from that? What spiritual truth can we gain from that? But I think there's a lot, and we're going to dig in, and we're going to ask the Lord to open our eyes to see the truths through this amazing story. So 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7, let's read it. An axe head float, that's the title. The company of prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out, it was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. And so that's the story that we're going to be drawing truth from that will prepare us and lead us into our fast tomorrow. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7. And so there in your notes, as we fast, basically what we're talking about is fasting is a spiritual discipline of denying our appetite in order to draw closer to God. And so whatever it is you're doing this week, it doesn't necessarily have to be food specifically, but something where you are denying your appetite in order to draw closer to God. And that's what we're going to be focusing, denying our appetite, things that we usually do, things that consume our time, and replace those things with prayer, with devotion, with meditation, with reading scripture, praying for each other, praying for you and your family. And so we see there in your notes, number one, spiritual hunger leads to fasting. Spiritual hunger leads to fasting. And as we talk about this thing that maybe we've lost or our edge is dull, you know, we've lost our edge, and I think when we realize we've lost it, that will lead us into fasting. You know, we want it back. We want something back. And so I think fasting is a beautiful way to get that back. Spiritual hunger leads to fasting. And so in this text, 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7, we see this man, he lost a very important tool to cut down a tree. It's in the water. It's gone. Iron doesn't float. It's at the bottom. So for all intents and purposes, this thing is gone. His axe head is gone. It's at the bottom. But then we see this miracle where God makes the axe head float. And then the man reclaims what he needs, what he lost. And so when he loses it, he goes to Elisha and tells him, hey, I've lost this. This thing was borrowed. It wasn't even mine. And then Elisha performs the miracle. God performs it through him. And so I love what we learn from this beginning of the text, that God brings things back that seem lost. He can give us our edge back. Many of you, based on your last few years, you think things are gone. Your hope is gone. There's no way you can reclaim your peace based on your current situation. Based on your life, there's no way joy is ever coming back. Based on this guy, there's no way I'm getting that axe head back because it's iron. It is down at the bottom of the water. There's no way it's going to come back. And all of a sudden, God performs a miracle where the axe head begins to float. He brings it back. And what is the thing that you've lost that you don't think is ever coming back? God is in the business of bringing things back. Purpose in your life this year. Peace in your life. His joy. His presence. God brings things back. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on through this fast. What have you lost that God wants to give you back? And so I love that in this story. He goes to Elisha, and through Elisha, God brings the axe head back. And the man reclaims what he needs. He reclaims what he needs. The second thing, which is really interesting, kind of what I've been thinking these last few weeks, is these men are studying under Elisha to be what? Prophets. They're not studying under Elisha to be lumberjacks. And yet it was when they were cutting down the tree that the miracle happened. Not when they were doing their prophet things, but when they were doing something they'd never even signed up for. And it was in the lumberjack phase that God did the miracle, that God taught them wonderful things, that God showed them wonderful things. And I think in our life, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. When your unexpected thing happens, when tragedy strikes, or when you're doing something that you never even signed up for, I think those are the situations where God redeems them and he uses them and he teaches us things that he could never teach us unless we're doing that, unless we're going through that. And for these guys, it was cutting down a tree. They saw God and they saw a miracle by doing something they never thought they would ever do, being a lumberjack. And I think fasting is a beautiful way to give us eyes to see that God can use the situation that you're going through. Even though it's not ideal, it's not what you signed up for, but God can use it, God can redeem it, and he can draw you closer to him through it, just like these guys. The next thing we see is that God will not do for you what you need to do for yourself. When the axe head floated to the top, Elisha said to the man, "Now you reach out and get it. You have to do your part, and God will be faithful to do His. He will deliver what we reach out for in faith. We just need to reach out. God honors us when we honor Him with our faith. When we choose to do something like a fast, God will honor that. And He will always deliver what we reach out for in faith. He will deliver what we reach out for in faith." And we see this happening in the story. Elijah told the man, "You reach out for it. It's there for your taking." Imagine how weird that would be to grab a floating piece of iron. But he reached out in faith and he took it. He took what God gave him back. So may we reach out in faith. May we experience God. May we see Him in a new way. And so fasting shows us what we've lost. And when we know what's lost, we can cry out to God to reclaim it for us. And fasting gives the Holy Spirit permission to bring things back up into our life that we need to address. Because some of us, like this man, he lost his iron head and he quickly realized it was gone. But I think so many of us, we're just chopping away with a dull axe blade and we may not even realize it. We think we're fine and we're just hacking away. But what fasting does is it allows the Holy Spirit to say, "Hey, here are some things that you need to address in your life. Your blade is actually pretty dull. You need to address it." And so it gives the Holy Spirit permission to address things that we may not even be able to see because we're just too busy hacking away and working and making it work even though it shouldn't. Fasting will do this. God will do His part. Let's do ours. He will show up, so let's do our part to show up too. So through fasting, we reclaim what is lost, and we see that in 2 Kings. And when we see in the Bible that when specific people needed something, they fasted. When they needed something from God, they didn't try to do it on their own or just keep hacking away at life. Many times we'll see that they fasted. And so I just want to talk about three examples that are pretty phenomenal and that's something we can relate to. Spiritual hunger leads to fasting. And so let's see how this played out in certain individuals in Scripture. We see there in your notes, number one, Jehoshaphat, he was this king of Israel, and he hungered for clarity. He hungered for clarity. What was happening was, when he was the king of Israel, he was surrounded by all his enemies on either side. In a matter of hours, they were about to attack and eliminate him and his entire kingdom. And he didn't know what to do, and he was very confused. He didn't know how to strategically go about doing this, and he needed clarity. And so what we see in Scripture, the main thing that he did when he needed clarity in his life was he fasted. We see there in your notes, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. He didn't know what to do. He needed clarity in his life, and so what he did is he fasted. So for many of us, I think we're in that same boat. We feel like we're surrounded by the enemy. We feel like we don't know what to do, what decision to make, where to go, what ways up or down. We need clarity. You may feel like you need clarity in something in your life, where you're going, what to do. You don't have a clear purpose or vision. You're not sure what decision to make. You need clarity. Scripture would tell us to fast. The king of Israel said, "I need clarity. I'm going to fast." So Jehoshaphat hungered for clarity, so he fasted. The next example in Scripture is one that we all know, Esther. Esther hungered for courage to make the wise decision that she knew she had to make, but it was very difficult. She resolved in her heart to make that hard decision, but she knew she needed courage and she knew she needed to fast to do it. See, what was happening was she was a Jew. But she was married to the king, and the king was tricked by Haman to basically kill all the Jews. Basically a genocide of all the Jews. Esther, being a Jew, would be part of that genocide. And so her uncle Mordecai came up and said, "Hey, you gotta stop this. The king is about to kill all of us, and that includes you. But you have the power to stop him." She said, "I can't go in there without an invitation. If I go barge into his room, he can take my life like that. No questions asked. Unless he raises the scepter and spares my life, but that's a big if." And Mordecai said, but you've been placed here for this purpose. You have to do this to save your people." And so she resolved in her heart, "Okay, I will go to the king. I will do what I know I have to do." So she resolved to do it. And to get the courage to follow through, this is what she did. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, there in your notes. Go and get all the Jews living in Susa together. Fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, either day or night. I and my maids will fast with you. And so I love it. It's this group of close-knit people. It's their church. It's their men's and women's group. It's them coming together and fasting for the courage that they need. Esther hungered for courage. What did she do? She fasted. What is it that you need courage for? Maybe it's a decision that you need to make. Maybe it's asking for forgiveness for someone. Maybe it's confronting someone. Whatever it is, maybe you need to make a decision that requires a lot of courage in your life. I would encourage you then this week to fast and allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Lord to give you courage. We see when Esther needed courage, she chose to fast because she knew that was a way that the Lord would empower her for the courage that she needed. Jehoshaphat, he needed clarity, so he chose to fast. The next person is pretty cool, Joel. And Joel was a prophet. What prophets did, they would go to masses of people and they would say, hey, this is what the Lord says. And a lot of times it wasn't very good. This is what the Lord says. You need to ask for forgiveness. You're living in sin. You need to repent. You need to walk away from those things and turn back to God. And Joel would often do this, as many prophets would, and speak to masses of people. And so this particular instance, he was speaking to Judah. And he said, hey, Judah, you're doing things over and over that are just wrong. And you're stuck in your sin. You're caught in your sin. One day after another, 1 year after another, you just keep turning away from God. You need to repent of these things and find freedom and breakthrough in these things. You need to turn back to your first love. And so we see Joel hungered for breakthrough, for a breakthrough. And I love this. He says this in Joel chapter 1, verse 14, declare a holy fast. Declare a fast. Call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and who live in the land of the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Many of you need clarity, many of you need courage, but many of you also need a breakthrough. You feel like you're just repeating last year, you're just stuck in the same thing, the same pattern, the same mindset, the same sin, and you need a breakthrough. Scripture is very clear that fasting is a way to expedite that breakthrough, that the Holy Spirit's power comes through us when we fast, to give us a breakthrough, to free us from bondage. Joel said to the masses of people in Judah, you guys need a breakthrough. You need to get over this and you need freedom from this. Declare a fast. I love what Isaiah says in chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the chains of the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free? And break every yoke. Fasting leads us to breakthrough. Fasting frees us from those things that you're entangled with. Fasting leads to clarity. It leads to courage. It leads to breakthrough. And so there in your notes, or if you have a piece of paper or something, let's have some audience participation. The question that I want to pose to you is, or not a question, but just identify your spiritual hunger. We all hunger for something, even if we're not very spiritual. We crave something. We want clarity. We want courage. We want a breakthrough. So what one of those three really speaks to you that you really need from God this week? I'd encourage you to write it down. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you hunger for peace in your life. Maybe you hunger for joy in your life. But whatever it is, I pray that the Lord would reveal it to you so that that can be the focus of your fast. Identify your spiritual hunger. And you can jot it down there in your notes or put it in your Bible or somewhere in your phone where you'll be able to see, this is what I'm craving, Lord. This is what I need from you. This is what I hunger for. Identify your spiritual hunger. Maybe it's one of those three, but maybe it's not. But I pray the Lord would reveal it to you now, what you hunger for from Him. And then Isaiah 58, if you keep reading through verses 8 and 9, this is kind of a result of fasting, that when you fast, it says, then your light will shine like the dawn. Oh, many of us need to have our light back. We've lost it. We live in darkness. We live in depression. We live in just the repeating of yesterday, and it's very dark. But as we choose to honor God and step out and take what is His and reclaim what is lost, then your light will shine like the dawn. And your wounds will quickly heal. Your God will walk before you, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call out, and the Lord will answer. You will cry out, and He will say, "Here I am. Here I am." When we do our part and call out to God and reach out for Him, He says, "Here I am. I'm here to give you clarity. I'm here to give you courage. I'm here to give you a breakthrough. I'm here to walk with you, to give you the peace that you're looking for. Here I am," He says. "Here I am." So we see that spiritual hunger leads to fasting. And fasting leads to spiritual hunger. That's number two in your notes. Fasting leads us to spiritual hunger. And I love the physical part of fasting, because we begin to hunger for what we've given up. And it may be food, but it may be something else. And around day one or day two, and especially on day three, we begin to really crave what we've given up, don't we? Maybe it's physical, but maybe it's emotional, maybe it's tangible, whatever it is. We really begin to crave what we've given up because we're used to having it. And I love that when that moment happens, because what happens then is if we stick with the fast, that hunger begins to transform into spiritual hunger. We see this in the life of Jesus. When He was fasting, Matthew 4, verse 3 through 4 says, "The devil came to Jesus to tempt Him, saying, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written in the Scriptures, a person lives not on bread alone, but on everything God says.'" And so when we feel the hunger pains, may that quickly and eventually turn into the spiritual hunger. And I love it because spiritual hunger leads to fasting, and then fasting leads to spiritual hunger. And we begin this beautiful rhythm this year where we crave more of Him, and fasting leads to craving more of Him, and craving Him leads to fasting. And it's a beautiful rhythm. And we find clarity, we find courage, we find breakthrough. So my prayer is, as we close up, that we will have a spiritual hunger for the things that we've lost. You know, and again, many of us are still just whacking away, and we don't even realize we've lost our edge. We say we're fine, and we think we're fine. But we need to stop and use wisdom here and ask the Lord to reclaim for us what we've lost. And so that's my prayer for you this week, that the Lord would bring up to you something that you don't have, you don't possess anymore. But that through the Lord's miracle working, you would be able to reclaim that through fasting. And that we may not slip into this year just continuing to live like we did last year. Old habits creeping in, living in apathy day by day, stuck in our anger, loss of joy, loss of dedication, loss of direction. So I invite you to fast with me. And when we fast, have a reason for fasting. Identify your spiritual hunger. And then pick what you're fasting from. And most importantly, make God the priority. May all this be so that we can draw closer to the Lord. We want to be more like Him. We want to draw closer to Him through this experience. So as we conclude, I would encourage you to find out what you're missing, what you've lost, and allow the Lord to reclaim it for you. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the spiritual discipline of fasting. We thank You that it is in Scripture, and it is something that You tell us to do. You told us that not if we fast or if we want to, but when we fast. So I pray that this will be a spiritual awakening moment for many of us. For many of us, we will reclaim what we've lost, and for many of us, we will just have our eyes open to what we have lost. So do a work, Lord, that only You can through this next few days, through Monday through Friday. May we experience You like we never have before. For us that hunger for clarity, hunger for courage, hunger for a breakthrough, I pray that we will find those things. As we fast, as we just want to be more like You. So Lord, we commit these next few days to You. Speak to us, grow us closer. We love you, Lord. We commit this fast to you for your glory and for our benefit. It's in your name we pray. Amen.